Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN's not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
You know, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021 that their algorithms were hiding safety signals. On 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic.
What they thought was going to happen during Biden and Kamala, that they would take out a lot of my generation and older, clear the deck, turned out the bioweapon wasn't fully tunable. And guess what happened?
We took out the wrong demographic.
They took you out. Before COVID begins in 2019, we get this guy from Harvard University arrested at the airport, caught with 21 vials of nanobat technology. His name's Charles Lieber. Two guys from China who worked in Wuhan gets arrested with him. They take the 21 vials away. He's the expert in wideband technology. That was what they were going to use to tune the bioweapon to take us out. They had to redeploy and put that stuff in Ukraine because they had to protect China from stealing this technology. Who wasn't ready? Pfizer. So what does Pfizer decide to do? They go downstairs three floors to their genetic department and they find SV40. They use SV40 to design their jab because they're late to the game. And what do they then do? They tell their scientists to use a molecular tool to take the evidence of SV40 out, and then they present a clean version to the FDA and they get approved.
CDC awarded Pfizer $735 million plus dollars for infant COVID shots, paying them, and the government tried to say it was mandatory when it wasn't, to then poison babies with it. This is the pure evil, the kind of stuff they've been trying to suppress the public from knowing. And they also paid the federal government over $2 billion to major pharmacies. Most of it went to CVS and Walgreens to not prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though the elites were all taking it, and it was proven to be very effective.
How many thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people are permanently disabled or possibly lost their life because our FDA hid the fact that there were safety signals screaming at them with the COVID injection.
I gotta tell you, Maha should be in an outrage. This was a massive issue on the campaign. It's still a massive issue. Many parents do not want their children to ever receive a COVID vaccine shot. Why? Kids don't need it.
Good job, MTG. Now, here I am in 2009, 2010, and 2011, exposing UN documents, WF planning, Operation Lockstep, CIA, John Hopkins. People ask how to know about lockdown, 6 feet apart, masking. They admitted it was about training you to be a slave, to be locked in your house. Once cell phones got up to a point they could track and control you, which they had way before COVID, they were going to implement this as the new slave control grid. That's how I knew.
Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite, millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family, everything that's in the other documents. But this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in that's just going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. These people are so arrogant that they write policy papers, so many of them, that they're producing these policy papers and reports and white papers so fast that you could never read them all. It is an open conspiracy against you and your family. The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life. Well, I mean, what else?
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Transparent role. Everything I do is on my sleeve. I stand for human civilization. I stand for God, family, and country. Somebody's got to try to be a good guy. Somebody's got to not be on the payroll of anybody but the truth. That's why I'm funded by listeners and viewers at thealexjonesstore.com with great supplements and t-shirts and knives and water filtration, just all good things you need. That way I'm not beholden to anybody. And if you like the information we cover, and if you find it to be accurate and helpful, then you support us, you pray for us, you share the articles, you share the videos, you share the URLs, you share the video feeds, you decide how much this broadcast is amplified. You support us and get great products at the same time at thealexjonesstore.com, and you decide whether you're going to promote our URL with the free video feeds and audio feeds of the shows and all the articles and information the bad guys don't want out there. It's your decision whether you're going to carry the ball and be the emissaries and the ambassadors and the emissaries of truth, the light in the dark. So just always remember when you look in the mirror that you're not part of the team, you are the team. You're not part of the solution, you are the solution, the millions of people out there watching. And when you decide to warn others and wake them up and take action and they decide to do the same thing, that creates the chain reaction, which is unstoppable. All right, almost every Tuesday, Victor Boot, very famous businessman, soldier, Eric Prince, you know, type Russian version of that, former political prisoner in the United States, and he's also elected major regional leader in Putin's party over in Russia. Everything he's been telling us, this has been coming on the show the last few years, has turned out to be extremely accurate. And I do a lot of research into all of the things that are happening, and I find his analysis is the best out there. And the bottom line is the old order, the fourth turning is here. The globalists are trying to bring in greater tyranny and a world government. We are opposing that. They don't want any nation states, any sovereignty. And chief amongst that and their main target is Russia. The same cultural poison, the same brainwashing, the same Satanism, the same pedophilia that they poison us with, they're trying to poison Russia with, but Russia has been very successful, probably the most successful, pulling away from that and then helping lead Eastern Europe out of that, and that's why the globalists hate Russia. And so now the EU is having to admit, major British newspapers are having to admit, like the London Telegraph, that the Russians are advancing very quickly from the east into the west, taking major cities and towns. Boot predicted months ago that in the coming months, Ukraine would launch a provocative stunt, probably into Crimea, to try to push the Russians back in a few areas to have a symbolic victory. That is indeed happening, but they haven't gotten much land. But in the real world, Russia's intensifying bombardments in response to Ukrainian NATO-backed bombardments and is winning and is preparing to accelerate even more from everything I've seen. I think Boot can fill us in on that. Meanwhile, sheer madness, UK tests long-range missile for Ukraine to bomb Moscow, a heavy missile that would blow up entire blocks. Obviously, it's a provocation. So we'll look at that latest situation, how it ties in with Israel sabotaging the peace deal by continuing attacks in Lebanon, with their top minister saying they want all of Lebanon to burn, all of it belongs to them, and that the goal is all of it. I played Ben-Gvir, their intelligence head in the cabinet, saying that last hour. So Victor Boot is on X at Real Victor Boot. Be sure and check him out and follow him there, where they post this interview every week and also other big interviews he's doing. I'm glad that he's getting involved in the media because he's obviously very smart and articulate. And so, Victor, thank you for joining us on this 23rd day of June 2026. So much to discuss, but I think you agree with me that history is on humanity's side. The globalists admit they're fighting a losing battle, but they're not giving up because they're enriching themselves by protracting this as long as possible, but endangering the whole world under the threat of nuclear hellfire and obviously economic devastation, bare minimum, with the Strait of Hormuz continuing to be closed and the peace deal being sabotaged yet again. So thank you for joining us. If you can just give us an overview on the latest developments since we talked last week and this provocation by the UK, obviously, to elicit what Russia's warned of, bombardment of military bases and weapons caches, not just in Ukraine, but in Europe, though we do see Poland beginning to pull away from Ukraine, pointing out, why do you give out Nazi awards, the Order of the Eagle to your soldiers? Why do you, Poland saying we're getting ready to break with Ukraine over the Nazi worship, which everybody's been ignoring, which is, even Zelensky said, sure, we got Nazis, they're Ukrainian too. So some good signs as well. Victor Boot, thank you for joining us.
Well, Alex, hi. Just to put record straight, I'm actually part of the High Council of Opposition party, not the Putin's party, but nevertheless.
I get it all confused. I was reading a British newspaper. I'm sure they got it wrong, so I shouldn't believe anything they say.
Okay. All right, good. And actually, we're criticizing a lot our government. We're also proposing a lot of the different, you know, legislative initiatives. Okay, now let's go to the main issue. You're absolutely right. Now, this is eventually the globalist feeling that their days are numbered, and they're trying a desperate attempt to show the victory or at least launch the massive counteroffensive. If you look what's happened on the G7 meeting, basically, the French president and the Europeans globalists tried to sell it as a huge success, as if they succeeded to bring Trump in their camp. And now that there was a their commentary, especially of the French media, which is very close to the President Macron, that finally, after very long and very hard job, they succeeded to bring Trump to support Ukraine. They hired a numerous psychologist, you know, behavior specialist, who would consult them what they need to do and how they need to behave, that the Trump would be at least able to speak for a couple minutes with Zelensky and give him certain promises. Whether it's true, I don't think so. Finally, what's going on, I think for Trump, the globalist is even more staunch enemy than anybody else, because they are threatening him, they orchestrated an attempt on his life, and they would not leave any legacy of the both terms of the President Trump if they had the chance of doing so. And now everything becomes so mixed up, it's even sometimes for the normal people completely confusing what's going on. We're hearing there is a peace deal, then Hormuz Strait opened, then it's again closed, then there is again bombardment at the south of Lebanon, then the Ukraine claiming they trying to launch some attacks. When you start checking the facts, apparently it's a Russian army moving slowly but successfully, and they did not succeed any territory to Ukrainian advances. Ukrainians preparing to some advance towards the Crimea. They're trying to heat the fuel supplies. They succeeded in some occasion. Yes, there is a certain limitation and difficulties to reorganize logistically the supply into Crimea. But I think, you know, within a short period of time, this problem would be sorted out. What they're trying to do, they're trying to sabotage the high touristic season when many Russians go for the beaches of Crimea to enjoy their summer holiday. It's almost like the equivalent of the your Florida for Russians, and we love and enjoy famous Crimean beach, and it's over 900 kilometers of those beaches in this peninsula, which is make it a very, very attractive touristic destination. Well, at least, you know, this mainly information war, it's mainly propaganda. So the Zelensky regime, in his desperate attempt trying to sell the victories, trying to get more money before all is over, and he will have to face the music, because the final end of this is coming. Well, if Europe now openly stating that they are preparing for the war with Russia by 2030, well, you think we will sit and do nothing? As we, you know, was analyzing with you for the past year or so, this conflict is really, I would say, as a result that the West, or especially globalists, thinking that they would overrun and ban Russia for their, you know, ultimatums, demands. They think that they're going to put before the Russia certain condition that they have to accept, and then the Ukraine will declare that they win and force Russia to pay reparation. Well, I guess the Russia can force entire Europe and all globalists pay reparation, and I think this how this conflict will end. Because despite they would try to hit several targets with their long-range drones, which is now massively produced in Europe, but think of this. It's make Europeans now part of the conflict. And accordingly, all rules and traditions of war, Russia has all rights to attack any of these installations. Doesn't matter where they are in Europe, whether it's in UK, France, Germany, Holland, Denmark, Finland, Poland, Romania, Italy, Spain, or even Turkey. This all organized and financed by the taxpayer money, and instead of, you know, minding really business of their own countries, all these leaders who basically graduates from the Soros programs for a very long time ago, when the Soros start to bring, you know, the new elites, you know, those who will sell their own countries for the peanuts, ready to sacrifice them. In these conditions, definitely this conflict will escalate, as we've been discussing with you. We're really, really now another step is over. Just recently, Zelensky was giving ultimatum to the Belarusian leader Lukashenko that he has removed some electronic equipment from their observation towers on the border with Ukraine. It's actually Ukraine sharing the northern border with the Belarus.
In fact, stop right there for just a second, Victor, because this is a big deal, and I mean, that's on my list of questions. They've been threatening to kill the leader of White Russia, Belarus. They've been threatening to invade, and then over the weekend they said Zelensky threatened to attack them, all because they have troops on their own border. The arrogance of that, what is the point of that?
Well, it's just a, you know, I think a purely orchestrated psyops. He's trying to show off, oh, if you don't comply, you know, okay, you have a 1 week. If you don't remove this equipment, we will, you know, attack you. We will just smash you. We will send our, you know, brave soldiers, and they will occupy Belarus. Well, what they don't understand, that the Russia in Ukraine is basically a so-called union state. We have a signed agreement which make us both utmost like one state, because we recognize each other, all documents.
So would you say it's basically part of the border? You're saying it's basically part of the Russian Federation?
It's not part of federation. It's really as more as a really union between Belarus and Russia. Belarusian kept all their sovereignty under their question, and there is a very high degree of all coordination with the Belarusians, and its coordination goes not only on industrial level, where the Belarusian enterprises, companies, and business fully integrated into the Russian markets, same true for the Russian companies in Belarus, and there is also very, very, very close cooperation almost daily within our armed forces.
And then, I was about to say, hasn't Putin made it clear that they've moved even more nuclear weapons into Belarus? And correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't Russia even given Belarus nuclear weapons?
Correct. There is, since last year, there is was a nuclear, tactical nuclear weapons position in Belarus, which is make a deployment time and a flight time way shorter for at least thousands of minutes. And another one, Russia also deployed in the Belarus Oreshnik, which make it even, more lethal weapons, a part of the tactical nuclear weapons. Plus, if Ukraine wants another front line of 1,000 kilometers, well, they're welcome. Let's let them try and see what
will
happen.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm no military expert like you, but it seems if Ukraine is losing, starting a fight with Belarus, that's huge population, well-trained, tough, has a lot of weapons, backed up by Russia, why would you then start another fight and give Russia and Belarus the excuse to come in? Obviously, Belarus is much closer to Kiev than where the Russians are in the east. That sounds like the dumbest move ever.
Well, they will do the same stunt they tried to pull on Kursk Oblast in Russian region over 2 years ago, when they will move in, try to occupy it, at least one district center, proclaim that there is a movement of the opposition of Belarus who are trying to liberate from last dictator, how they call it, Lukashenko, and then, call it like a free Belarus movement, free Belarusian army, and whatever, and try to sell it to the globalist sponsors as another project they need to finance.
So it's another excuse. It's another excuse to give NATO an excuse to declare the articles. Now I'm going off mainstream media, which I know is my fault, and I normally don't listen to it, but I was doing some more research on Russia over the weekend, and you came up, so I was reading articles from 3 or 4 years ago when you first got released, and so it was saying then that you had joined Putin's party. That's probably not true either. You can just fill us in. It's so interesting. But it was saying you got your start as a linguist and officer in the Russian military at the end of the Cold War, helping Belarus and Lushenko, or however you say his name, specifically sell a lot of its surplus weapons to help get their economy going. Is that an even accurate statement? And do you know the president well?
Well, it's absolutely false statement. Yes, I've been in the Soviet army, and when the Soviet Union collapsed because of reduction of the Soviet army, I also was resigned. Yes, I work in Belarus, but commercially only with the air freight logistics. I unfortunately didn't know personally President Lukashenko. Well, I hope I will have a chance to know him personally, in the near future, but not for my past experiences.
So that's more. So you don't know Lukashenko. So just more lies. It's literally everything I read in the British news about you. Just is not even true.
Well, fine. What is true in the British press? So it's basically if you read what they're saying, you can.
So they can't even. They can't even get. I can show you the articles. They can't even get it right. What party you're in? It's just crazy.
Correct. That's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem with the British and many other mainstream media all over the world. Because, look, they basically control with a very small same group. How many of British newspapers still controlled by the Murdoch and the same clan controlling many of United States?
Well, it's interesting. Outlet. Let's get it on record to millions of people. Tell us about the party you are in, how you got involved in politics. You say you do oppose some of Putin's policies. You're obviously a smart businessman. That's just an interesting factoid. Talk about the party you are in, what you oppose, what the policies you support in Russia are.
Well, basically, look, the LDPR, which is a Liberal Democratic Party of Russia, well, it's a little bit do not really correspond to really positions, because this is party which was created the first still in Soviet Union, when the Communist Party still has their dictatorship. So we are the oldest party of the new Russia. So we just celebrated last year's 35th anniversary of the LDPR. In the 90s, LDPR had a majority in Russian parliament. We had the biggest fraction of the deputies. And Zhirinovsky then was the speaker of the parliament. Since then, we've been always the party of opposition. But our position is always the same. We are for the strong, prosperous Russia. We are a patriotic party. We are defending basically interest of the population, of the workers, of the businesses. We're calling where it's needed government and the party of the power for, you know, what we see must be done in the, you know, country. And we are also a party who are basically proposing more bills in the Duma than any other parties. So we are small but very effective force who fighting for the, you know, population, for the interest of the Russia.
And well, the reason that's so interesting is, and again, I know not to believe mainstream media, but even I get shocked by the level of, they don't get anything right, because I read a ton of, you know, European and UK news, and they just, as a fact, say he's a, Viktor Boot is a Putin confidant. He's a Putin Kremlin insider. He's in Putin's party. And I know they lie, but lies that big. And then here you are in an opposition party, and it just shows how it's just complete upside down world. It's crazy.
Well, that's absolutely right. Look, only today we finished our party congress, where we approved the list of the all candidates who will run for election this September, because we have the election of our Duma or parliament, you know. So this is a now very, very important period for us. We also announced today our program of the reforms, which in Russia we as a party deciding it's necessary. Before that, we've been rallying and asking opinion in many regions of Russia what's really to be done. We have several slogans. We say that, look, we need to fight inequality between the capital Moscow and the rest of Russia. You know, we're saying that Russia is not only Moscow. So we are pushing also to solve the problem with the population, with the birth rates.
You have the same problems we have. D.C. thinks it's correct. The center of the world, and our birth rates have got big. We have the same problems.
Yeah, we're also trying to push for the equal wages for the teachers in all regions, because we have this big difference between wages of teachers in Moscow and the rest of the country. We're also pushing for way more infrastructure projects, you know, better roads, better services for people. We want that our veterans have no hassle when they return home from the conflicts and from the wars. We're also pushing that, you know, our industries are booming, are not being stagnated because of the improper policies of our central bank. So basically, you know, we're seeing the problem and openly, without any, you know, kind of moderation, discussing them.
Well, we always hear that Putin doesn't allow any opposition. Is that true?
No, it's absolutely not. Just it's a different relation in Russia. Look, the Putin was visiting just the last, 2 months ago, an exhibition which was next to the Kremlin about the Zhirinovsky, because this year we're celebrating his 80th birthday. Unfortunately,
hold on, stay there, Viktor. I want to hear more about this. It's fascinating. Inside Russian politics. Then we'll shift gears to geopolitics, the U.S. and Israel. Here's three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday, limited edition, July 4th. Apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the America 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our CMOS. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But, I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. Congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water, one of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Tucker Carlson is always kicking ass, but he's in the zeitgeist. He's going to break big news next hour with us. Be sure to join us on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, and on X at Real Alex Jones and stations across the country. Victor Boot is our guest. I didn't mean to make us rabbit trail off into internal Russian politics. And as much as I don't believe mainstream media, I just cannot believe they continue to construct entire systems of lies where even none of it's even real. And there I am even buying into it because I don't expect stuff even of that magnitude. That's really how they still get us. Now, you were finishing up and the break cuts you off. That's a hard break we had to take for local stations. Victor Boot, elected leader in Russia, former political prisoner here in the United States. You were saying Putin went to a exhibition. Tell us what it was. You're about to tell a story. Go ahead.
Okay. So, look, this year, again, even the Putin signed the decree celebrating 80 years anniversary of the Vladimir Zhirinovsky, founder of LDPR party. And this was a basically state-planned campaign because he really was a founder of the present-day political system of the Russia, because LDPR was the first party after the Communist Party. And eventually, we basically put a foundation of the system of political in Russia, of the modern Russia. So we have a total about 18 parties. You know, yes, there is a party of power, United Russia, then there is a Communist Party of Russia, there is a LDPR, a Liberal Democratic Party of Russia, there is a social, what they call it, SR, the Just Russia Party, basically Socialist Party, and there is a New People Party, recently formed party. So this is all five parties, which is a
Who is the most right wing? Who is the most hard line? Who's most pissed off at Putin?
Well, look, I would say all parties except of United parties has their own degree of criticism of the government. But this criticism very different from what, you know, you used to do, because we are not collecting the dirt, not smudging it over the faces. We are not interested into this. The criticism goes that we would say, hey, you know, we're suggesting that this would be better initiative. And we in a constant contact with the government, and we said, hey, this is idea, if it works or not. And guess what? Many times they said, yes, it's good, and then all parties supporting it. So basically, this is a, I would say, it's not cacophony. It's a mainly of symphony where our population has the choice. You want to go to the communist? Okay, you're welcome. They're still there. They have also their, you know, group in the parliament. So you can address if you feel that the communist idea is still attracting to you, you can go to them. Or you can go to the Liberal Democratic Party, which we stand for freedom, which we stand for independence, which we are trying to create out of Russia, most prosperous and most beautiful country for the living. So this is gives again of our waters a perfect choice. And this is in a staunch contract between the Democrats and the Republicans in the United States, where it doesn't matter what other party would propose, another one would completely would be against it. Here we are in Russia. Often we do support the bills, which is party of power preparing, if they have a common sense. At the same time, you know, they are supporting our proposal, and sometimes we even agree with the communists if their proposal also make a, you know, common sense. So basically, this is a difference. And our discourse are very moderated. We never go for insulting each other. There is no, you know, dirty jokes about the, you know, personalities. We all focus on the issues. And the you know, our deputies in the parliament, at least 1 week are spending in their regions where they're receiving the citizens, you know, visiting the places, learning their problems, and trying to help.
Amazing. In closing, we talked about this some last week, and I do my own finger to the pulse and ear to the ground. But overall, you said upwards of 90%, and I agree from the numbers I've seen outside of Russians want more hardline from Putin. I think he's actually been very moderate and very constrained. NATO wants to suck him into something that could end the planet. But overall, is the concern real? And should Putin be concerned that hardliners are getting upset that he has not been more aggressive with Ukraine? And is it true that Russia's getting more and more, the population more and more aggressive and impatient?
Well, yes, that's really the reality, because now, everybody is supporting that we need to finish this war as quick as possible. Everybody is calling for elimination of this criminal terrorist regime of Zelensky. We're calling that we need to really undertake some action. We will really prevent NATO countries again to threaten us, because we eventually allow them too far to encroach in our interest, in our national interest. And then, you know, the government also pushing back in the sense, yes, you know, we're trying to hold diplomatic lines. And, you know, there is a reason between the even opportunity to discuss all the points, but far left or far right, basically now calling for the same. We need to finish this conflict, and we need to destroy this dophead Zelensky, we need to destroy this Epstein coalition, you know, pushed a war.
How big a deal is it that the Polish government came out? I mentioned earlier you didn't get into it, that Poland came out and said, we may not support Ukraine anymore because of their Nazi worship. They even used that term, and Lavrov said, finally, you face the reality. I mean, it really is Ukraine's main engine is left over from World War II, pro-Nazi, the grandsons of this. I mean, that's not some Putin propaganda. For God's sakes, a couple of years ago, they had the SS officer who literally ran mass exterminations on record. None of the Jewish groups wanted him getting a standing ovation at Parliament. And they said he fought the Russians in World War II, as if someone with a 70 IQ should know, yeah, against Hitler. So how big a deal is it that Poland did that, A, and then someone moved to Israel, and then B, you said 6 months ago, 4 months ago, look, Putin's going to get more hardcore soon. Then they started saying that. He has done that some in response to increased Ukrainian bombardments, but I guess we don't know a timeline on when Russia would launch more of a blitzkrieg attack?
Well, I don't think it would be a blitzkrieg attack the way we know it. It would be very massive, I guess, you know, rocket and drones attack. And then, you know, when the principal centers and the command chain would be destroyed, then eventually we will move to control the territory. But this is a very important thing to explain. Think of this. The Nazis in Ukraine are playing the role of the hit squads. So the Zelensky relying on them to control the descent. And they are untouchable. Even if some of this Azov battalion or other Nazi formation, like a Kraken battalion, like, you know, there is other, you know, battalion who is openly going with the SS and the Nazi insignia on their, you know, chevrons, because Zelensky using them when they need to clean up any opposition of him. So Ukraine now is really became a country where the population is suppressed. There is no any practically dissent. You can't speak out against what's going on. You can't express your opinion that this is what destroying the country. Look at this. Where on the earth you're going to find the country where you cannot leave the country where the government will hunt you on the street like is a dystopian movie and send you to the front line where basically in 3 days you're dead. And Ukraine have a huge shortages with the soldiers because they have a very big losses. And look, the facts, it's very simple. When Russia and Ukraine do the swap of the bodies of the soldiers, it usually goes like last one. Russia gave to Ukrainians 28. When the Ukraine give to Russia, 28 bodies of the Russian soldiers, which they picked up from the battlefield, and Russia give to Ukraine over 1,000, you know, bodies of Ukrainian soldiers. So this is illustrate what kind of attitude the government has to their own soldiers in Ukraine and what kind of attitude Russia has to own soldiers in Russia. So basically, since we are both countries speaking the same language, Ukrainians are using a lot of terrorist act, the methods. Like, look, they operating the huge call centers who scamming our citizens. They calling, they threatening them, they telling them, yes, this is a call from the local police or local security. We are preparing some operation. Apparently, your bank account under the threat. You need to remove all the cash. We will move it to the safe account. And this is kind of become a pandemic in Russia. And government trying hard to prevent it. But these illegal call centers operated in Ukraine are huge profit centers. And believe me, after they done this with the Russia, they're going to go and scam Europeans, scam, you know, even Americans.
Absolutely. It's a giant center of criminal activity, including in the United States. One more point on Ukraine, and then I'm going to move on. Russia said when this started 4.5 years ago that there were giant bioweapon labs that Obama had expanded. Well, back at the time, Obama bragged that he did it. Then they tried to deny it. Then Victoria Nuland, under oath, admitted it. A lot of level 4 labs where the U.S. moved a lot of its illegal operations when they got caught during COVID doing it. And now we had the Tulsi Gabbard last Friday in her final act declassifying that indeed there are gain-of-function really super weapons that Ukraine has. She said it threatens all of humanity. Think of the madness in a war zone. And reportedly, the United States has not evacuated those pathogens or destroyed those. So Russia was called liars when your head of chemical biological weapons, who they later, the Ukrainians blew up outside his apartment, right after that, it turned out Russia's report was absolutely accurate. In fact, if anything, it wasn't strong enough. Can you briefly speak to that?
Well, absolutely right. Look, since a long time, the Russia was exposing and telling that this bioweapon program of United States, and it's not only in Ukraine. Look, they move to all ex-USSR countries. They also installed the same network of the labs in Ukraine, where they've been holding and doing tests of the all kind of the lethal pathogens. They also did the same in Georgia, I mean, country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, where they not only, you know, run these labs, but they also reported cases where the population unexpectedly start falling dead because something happened in that neighborhood. There is also same labs.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. In the Russian report 3 years ago, they said that in eastern Ukraine, but also in areas of Russia, they had tracked pathogens that they knew were being grown in Ukraine. And Russia made the claim that NATO, through the proxy of Ukraine, was engaged in biowarfare. Remember that?
Correct. But look, Alex, you know perfectly well, there is nothing would stop the globalists. They will use all forbidden means, including all forbidden by the international treaty chemical weapons. They're going to use, if they can, biological weapons, and moreover, which is more dangerous, what really going on in this lab, they're trying to now create a smart weapon, which would only affect particularly ethnicity.
Race-specific,
correct. Race-specific pathogens, and they're now developing the special series of these, you know, pathogens against the Russians, so against Slavic or entire the population in Russia, because we are not only Slavic population, we having at least 186 other ethnicities except the Russians. So that now they're trying to, you know, really adjust that pathogen that it would be effective. Well, our, you know, biological services and the army also aware of this. They also conducting their own research, be able to elaborate quickly the necessary markers, testers, and also the vaccines against it. As you know, just recently, when this breakout of the Ebola happened in the Africa, Russia was able to develop within 3 days, when they received the necessary orders, they developed the markers, a tester. So now, and send a bunch of them to Uganda, so Ugandan's doctors can now test to see if this Ebola or something else.
Incredible. In closing, we're almost out of time. It goes so fast. Your snapshot of Israel, they're not even hiding it. Not Netanyahu, not Ben-Gavir, not their finance minister, Smotrich. They say, we're taking all of Lebanon. We're going to burn it all down. We're going to kill everybody. It's our playground. It's all ours. I played these before you came on, the clips, for viewers. You want to see that. It'll be posted on Real All Shows later. We streamed it live. I mean, these are very provocative statements. They're trying to act like villains to create as much chaos as possible. They're admitting they're sabotaging the peace deals. They signed a deal last Friday with Hezbollah for a ceasefire, violated in 1 hour. Where do you see all this going? Now they're attacking Trump. Their mouthpiece, Mark Levin, is saying, how dare you Republicans bully Israel after everything we've done for them? What the hell is going on? What do you predict comes next? Because obviously things aren't going the way Israel wants, so they're just throwing a giant fit.
Well, the question is whether Israel can economically sustain to do it by its own. Now, it's only exists there because of American help. Military, technological. Yes, Israelis also contributed a lot with their, you know, innovation. But overall, the country with a, 10 million population, really overstretching itself and trying to control way more territory than they can, afford to. So what is the future? I guess for Israeli to exist as a state, they need really to come to their senses, eventually, you know, decide, because it's really a democratic state. They need to choose, you know, the leadership, which will not bring their existence to the end. And listen, very simple. Israelis is only one country in the world allowed to have the nuclear weapons, but not to be part of non-proliferation treaty. They never allowed any inspectors, and they never admit that they have weapons, but they often use the threat of these weapons like an ultimate, you know, revenge. Now, what they're going to do? They want to occupy entire Lebanon, occupy almost all Syria, part of Iraq, Jordan, a part of the Egypt, and part of Saudi Arabia. Well, look, the reality is such that geography will determine their, you know, position. This is 10 million of the Israeli population in total against what, about at least 100 million Arab population surrounding them. Now, they also try to declare war to the, or threatening Turkey that they would be next target after the Iran. They start to launch the attack on Iran, despite they never been sharing even border with Iran. So this is really very, very aggressive policies, which is basically based because this is like a small bully going and having a big bully behind him. And whenever happens, he always runs and said, oh, you know, that man tried to offend me. Go and, you know, hit him hard. But sooner or later, this would be over. And I doubt that then the Israel would be able by itself find the balances or to reestablish a proper relation with the countries of the region.
Well, and let me just throw this out at you, too. Israel, in their official statement, says they're going to take at least southern Lebanon. They're already saying they're going to build houses on it and settlements. But then they say to the UN and the U.S., no, we'll leave Lebanon when all the underground bunkers and tunnels are destroyed. There's no way to ever prove that. So now they've just said we're staying there forever. This is outrageous.
It's not outrageous. Look what they do with the Palestinians, what they did with the Gaza. And just recent news, when I was reading, that apparently the statistics, how many killed in Gaza Palestinians, way more or bigger than it was officially declared. So this is a really genocide, if you consider it, because you're coming to territory and you, without letting them any humanitarian assistance, without allowing them to escape, you're just exterminating them because you are want to clean that territory from the Palestinians. The same true for the West Bank, when they already encroach and basically put illegal settlements on the land, which is initially reserved for creation of independent Palestinian state. And look, since Israel never wanted really to sign an idea, two-state solution, where they would allow the creation of Palestine, an independent state, and then, you know, establish a normal neighbor relation and eventually, you know, live and work together in some kind of the harmony and the peace. Well, instead of this, Orthodox Jews, this extremist organization, who deciding, no, we go and do these illegal settlements. They go, they destroy the...
Sure, and we're almost out of time. So how do you see it currently ending? Not well for Israel. The whole world's turned against them. Just in summation, this has been a major miscalculation by Israel, and we got to worry about false flags. Because now Israel's leaders are saying, ooh, we need another 9/11 to make America get behind us, as we've been saying. That's one of their only cards left.
Correct. Well, that's what another problem, because now the Israeli factors are not only influencing American policy, it's becoming a key problem in American politics. Because I think American people only can decide what decision they're making. Yes, like any nation, they can have their proper friendly relation with any country. But in this case, when Israelis openly basically bragging that they're controlling America, this is a real signals for concern. And first of all, Americans should be worried and ask the question why it's happening. Well, again, history also gives us a proper lessons. In the sense, if the nation cannot establish themselves within their neighbors and coexist, at least, I'm not telling that they must, you know, love each other, but coexist more or less peacefully, it's always end either this nation would be gone in the history, or, you know, otherwise there is no solution. So for Israelis, I think it would be improper now continue the same policy.
Well, that's right. Israel's saying we're not going to get along with neighbors. We're going to dominate them and even take over Turkey and Egypt. Total insanity. 1 minute left. 2 weeks ago, you said it, and last week you said it. You said Starmer will be gone. He is gone now. They're bringing in one of his deputies that's almost as bad. But overall, I see that as a victory because he's been key in NATO keeping the war going. 60 seconds on Starmer.
Well, Starmer gone, but believe me, new Starmer, not better than the old one. It's another, eventually, representative of the Labour Party who's going to push the same policy for the war and conflict with Russia. I think the old mayor of the city in England, who most probably would be a
Manchester.
New prime minister in Britain, will continue the same policy. Nothing would change.
But overall, Starmer had to go, and that just shows how unpopular they are. That party will soon be out of power. That is the good news. Real Victor Boot on X, at Real Victor Boot. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right, Tucker Carlson is coming up. That's real analysis, folks. That's highbrow stuff. Listen, we're listener-supported. The products are insane. I only sell you stuff that really works. I set out about a year and a half ago with Bigley. I said, make something even better than TurboForce. It's time to upgrade it. TurboForce was a fan favorite. 10-hour clean energy, vitamins, nutrients, minerals, super compounds. Ultimate power, energy, focus, blood flow, and endurance. It is a pre-workout, post-workout energy. You name it. It is incredible. Super concentrated. 30% off. Back in stock. Sold out for 3 or 4 months. Ultimate power. Back in stock. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we're running the summer kickoff super sale for 2 weeks. Every 3 days, one of our best-selling supplements will be buy one, get one free. And right now, you can buy one Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best out there, and experience the best Methylene Blue. Skips oxidation processes in the mitochondria, supercharges you, clean energy, no letdown. So good for your whole body, your vision, your clarity, everything. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on the best iodine, tri-iodine deal, up to 50% off. It's all at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But ultimate power, nobody has got a pre- or post-workout or just energy drink like this. No letdown, feels so good, time-released. All of these superfoods, all these super nutrients, it would take so long to go over. But look, we have the big U.S. third-party testing firms, absolutely cleanest product out there, overhead shot. It's got all of these incredible super nutrients in there. Blow that up. I can't even pronounce a bunch of these. I mean, it's just got everything in it, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for you, the L-theanine, the alpha-GPC. I mean, it's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com and the best water filtration systems and more. All right. Hey, look who just connected. Let's punch it up. The Tucker Carlson Network right there on screen. And soon, Tucker will be joining us. Hour number three, just 120 seconds away. Stay with us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.